Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. Welcome to First Baptist Church on Facebook Live. I'm excited to be with you tonight. I'm excited to preach to you and preach about an issue that I feel like we all deal with a lot of times in our life on some scale or another. And the title of tonight is, Who Are You When Things Aren't Well? Who are you when things aren't well? Begin to think about that as we start tonight and as we pray. And we'll jump into it and hopefully help us learn how to do some things that can help us work through the times of trial in our life or the times in our life where it just feels like things are difficult. So pray with me as we get started. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine, God, the beautiful weather today. Just thank you for all that you bless us with. God, all those things you do for us, we forget about. Just thank you for that today. I thank you for being with us, God, no matter what. And I thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever, God, that no matter what's going on in our life or what's going on in the world, God, you're the same. You have the same power, the same love, the same grace, the same hope, the same mercy, God. Everything is the same today as it was yesterday, and it'll be the same tomorrow, no matter what. And we're so thankful for that. And I just thank you for what you're doing in our church, God. I pray that you just continue to work here. I pray that you would continue to lead us in a way that is directed towards you, God, and in a path that follows you. Just in the utmost of focus on where you want us to go. Thank you for this opportunity tonight. I pray that you would help speak through me. I pray that I would articulate it in a way that makes sense, God, and just get out of your way so that you can teach us something tonight through your word. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so who are you when things aren't well? I know there's times in my life, my wife would definitely attest to this, that when I'm sleepy or I'm hungry or both, I am just not fit to be around, period. If it's both of them, you might as well just shut me in a room and leave me alone until I've had a sandwich and a nap. I don't do well with that. And there are times in our life where we deal with the trials and tribulations. They come to us and sometimes they're big and sometimes they're just a bunch of little things that begin to come at us and then begins to steal our focus and it begins to kind of beset us and derail us from our focus on God. And tonight, I want to talk about three guys in the Bible who experienced hardship, but the way they responded to that hardship helps us find a way to respond to those issues we deal with and those circumstances we find ourselves in that aren't super pleasant. You know, sometimes we have issues that affect our finances, we have issues that affect our emotions, our physical health, our mental health, our spiritual health, all of those things. And when it begins to feel like we're attacked on all of those sides at once, it's really hard to focus on God. And it's really hard to keep our mind focused on Him and our heart set before Him in a way that we continue to pursue Him. So tonight, like I said, I want to follow three guys in the Bible, major characters in the Bible. I'll give you three guesses about who the first one is, and the other ones don't count. We're talking about trials and tribulations. We're going to talk about Job. And we all know Job. Job is popular among Christians and non-Christians about when we talk about dealing with problems and enduring hardship and suffering. And Job was a guy in the Bible who was very prominent in the community and in the land and the nation that he lived in. And he was a devout follower of God. And Satan came to God and said, hey, let me test Job to see if he really loves you or if he just loves you because you've blessed him. So God says, okay, you can do that. Take his possessions. So he loses everything. He loses part of his family, his kids. He loses all the things that he owned. And then he's still praising God. He's still giving God glory. And he's still talking about how God is still supreme in everything that he is. And then Satan comes to him and he's like, hey, God, look, skin for skin. Let me attack his body and see what he does then. And Job still responded in the same way. He suffered physically, and he suffered emotionally and mentally as well, but we see that his outlook on who God was and his outlook on his relationship with God was solid through that. And in Job chapter 1, verse 22, it says, throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. And that scripture there, you know, you think about all of the things that Job lost in one day. Like, he lost everything he owned within one day. His kids, his farm, his livestock, everything he owned within one day. And yet, he didn't blame God. He understood that God is still God, no matter what we have or don't have. And as Satan began to buffet and test his body and begin to, he was afflicted with boils from head to toe and all these things, he still had an outlook on God. He questioned why God was doing it. He questioned why these things were happening to him, because he felt like he was just in his actions. He felt like he had remained righteous in what he did, but he questioned why it was going on, but he never questioned who God was. And in Job chapter 19, verse 25, it was one of my favorite scriptures. He says, "But I know my living Redeemer, and he will stand on the dust at last." And another way to look at that is he says, I think it's the King James, "I know my Redeemer liveth." And so many times in our life, when we get attacked on multiple angles like Job did, and we find ourselves dealing with circumstances and hardships like he did, we tend to lose focus on who God is. We tend to lose focus on it's so much more about what we have, or so much more about what we don't have in those moments, and we forget about who God is. And one thing that Job did throughout this whole time, he was faithful to God. He was faithful in his relationship with God. He was faithful in the fact that he didn't sin before God. And his outlook to God was faithful the entire time. And so many times in our life, what happens is we get distracted by these things. We get focused on these issues. And we begin to look at, man, I got to pay this bill. And man, I got to do this. And good Lord, I'm tired and I'm hungry. And I don't feel well, my body's not doing well, I'm stressed out because of this, that, and the other. And we begin to focus on all these things, and we forget about who God is. We forget that our Redeemer still lives. And it's cool to me that Job calls him his Redeemer in this. He calls him the Redeemer, the one that was going to pay the ransom, the one that was going to get him out of the misery. Even in the middle of that misery, he knew who his Redeemer was. And so many times, like I said, we begin to focus on the issues more than we focus on God still being who He is. We become unfaithful to Him in on our focus and our relationship with all of the circumstances and all the trials that we're facing. And we begin to start worshiping those things because we focus on them so intently. We begin to spend our time thinking about, oh my gosh, I've got this going on, or oh my gosh, I've got that going on. And we forget about God. And we forget to worship Him, when we forget to tell Him who He is, and we forget to talk to Him about how wonderful He is, and we forget to worship Him. And it becomes so critical that we keep our focus on who God is. And who are we when things aren't well? Most of the time, I don't do real good with this. When my life doesn't follow the pattern that it needs to follow, when I don't have the same schedule I need to have every day, when things don't just go so-so, I get pretty easily distracted. And it takes a lot of effort for me to begin to focus on what's going right in the middle of everything that's going wrong. And what's going right is the thing that's solid in my life every time. God is the same, like we said in the prayer, yesterday, today, and forever. He is always right. He is always just. He is always perfect. And He is the steadfastness in my life when turmoil is all I can see. And so many times, like I said, we begin to become unfaithful in our relationship with Him as we begin to worship all of the things that come against us. So how do we be well when things aren't well? The first thing is to remain faithful in our relationship with God. To remain faithful no matter what comes against us, no matter what tries to distract us, no matter what tries to pull our eyes away from Him and focus on those things, we remain faithful to who He is in our actions and in our worship. We remember that He's a living God. He's a God who cares, not just one time, not just twice, but He cares for us throughout our entire life and then into eternity. So number one, how do we be well when things aren't well? Remember to be faithful to Him. Remember to focus on Him in the middle of those times. Another guy I thought about that endured some major hardship was Daniel. And Daniel was a Hebrew boy who was under Babylonian captivity when King Nebuchadnezzar, they took over the Israelites and the Hebrews. He brought him to Babylon with a bunch of other young guys and began to try to teach them the ways of the Babylonians. And Daniel wasn't going to have it. He was a devout, God-fearing man, and he knew who God was. No matter what Nebuchadnezzar said, he wasn't going to follow it. And through a series of events and favor with God, he began to kind of be promoted into the in this area or these group of Hebrew people. And Nebuchadnezzar got to where he kind of liked him because he was interpreting dreams and he was able to understand things. God allowed him to have these talents and these abilities. But King Nebuchadnezzar was really focused on who these gods were worshiping. And he was really focused on them worshiping the way the Babylonians did. And Daniel and his buddies, they just weren't going to do it. They weren't going to bow before a false god. They just weren't going to change what they believed in because some man told them to. So the story kind of progresses. They defy him a couple times. And it gets to the point where these guys who are they're Babylonian guys, they're kind of upset because Daniel's kind of found in favor with the king. And they decide to, hey, we're going to get him once and for all. So they get the king to sign this decree that if anyone doesn't pray or worship you in the way that we say, in the way that you say, their life gets to be taken. We're going to throw them in a lion's den, and we all know Daniel in the lion's den, that story. And that's it. That's going to be done. They're going to take their life. So when they get the king to sign it, and that's where we kind of pick up in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And this scripture is just awesome to me. This is right after Daniel had learned that the king had signed this decree that if he didn't worship and bow down and pray the way he said he should, then he was going to be killed. They were going to take his life. So it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house. The windows in its upper room opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day he got down on his knees, prayed, and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So what this shows me is that Daniel, when he found out that if he didn't follow the rules, he was going to be killed, the first thing he did was pray. The first thing he did was talk to God about it. And I've thought about this in my life. When things come against me, and when I find out things that are unpleasant, when I find out difficult situations, I'm going to owe this much money, I'm going to do this, I'm going to whatever, whatever is my problem in the moment, a lot of times I'll focus on whining about it to the people around me. I'll talk to people around me about how bad it is, or we get focused on telling everybody, woe is me, and look at this problem I'm dealing with, and look what I'm going through, and it's no fair, and it's no fun, and blah, blah, blah. We're quick to post it on Facebook. We're quick to tell everybody about it. We're quick to talk about our problems. But how many times do we actually just stop right then and there and pray about it? How many times do we stop in that moment and pray about it? And you see, Daniel didn't pray to God about saying, hey, God, look what they're trying to do to me. They're trying to kill me. They're trying to take me out. God, I'm in danger and all these things. It says he got down on his knees, he prayed, and he gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. You see, what Daniel did is he didn't come to God and whine about his problem. He came to God and exalted God and began to thank him for who he was and began to lift his name and praise him. And I'm reminded that when we're in those times, to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so many times in our life, we start shouldering these things and we start carrying these things that aren't ours. We start dealing with these issues and we try to shoulder them and just hold on to them the best we can, and rather than giving them to God and rather than talking to God about it, we just hold them. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My burden is easy, my yoke is light. And when we come to him with these things and we begin to talk to Jesus and we begin to respond to God in a way that says, hey, and this is going on, but I'm going to talk to you like I did yesterday before I knew about this. I'm going to remind myself of who you are. I'm going to lift your name like I did yesterday before I knew all this junk was going on. You're still the same God, the one who deserves my praise, the one who created me to lift your name, the one who created me to worship you in action and in word and in song and in life, period. That's why I was created, was to lift your name. Am I going through some stuff? Yeah, I am. But I want to take a minute to talk to you about how good you are to me and how good you've been to me before. And you see, when we do that and we begin to talk to God about who he is, so many times in my life I feel that burden begin to lift, and I've felt that weight just start to be picking up off of me, and he begins to take that, and it's something that I can just barely stand up with. It's something that I can just barely make it through the day with. Like, I'm dying to get to bed and go to sleep so you can have some rest from it. It's one of those times he begins to take that, and it just feels like rest, and it just feels like comfort, and it feels like peace. But it's when we talk to him about how good He is, and we lift His name, and we begin to worship Him in those difficult times that we find out who He is. So Job was faithful in his relationship with God. Job was faithful in his view of who God was, and even though he questioned why, and even though he didn't understand exactly what God was doing, he knew He was God. He was faithful in that. Daniel, his response was that he prayed to God. He didn't pray in a whining prayer talking about how bad his life was. He talked to God about how good God was. He thanked God. He prayed to Him and began to exalt Him in the way He was created to do. And I want to challenge you and myself in those moments as we begin to try to be good when things aren't good. It's to remember to praise God in a way that exalts Him even in the middle of trouble. Man, it's tough. It's really hard to do that. It's really hard to get beyond that and say, you just want to go before God and whine and complain and talk about how bad things are. But if we can focus on what good God is and how good God is and the ways that He is good to us, and it becomes so much easier. Because what we begin to do in that moment is we restore that relationship with Him. We restore that severing of what we focused on in our immediate surroundings and our immediate circumstances. We begin to look to Him instead, and we begin to look above them and see who He is. And when we worship Him for who He is, and we worship Him because of who He is in our life and who He has been for us and who we know He will be because we have faith in Him, man, things become so much easier. Things become so much more light to bear. So number one, have faith in Him. Remember to be faithful to Him in our relationship and what we focus on like Job did. But number two, begin to praise Him. Pray to Him. Speak to Him. But in a way that's not whining, in a way that's not complaining and petitioning God to move on our behalf, and that's all we do. Remember to praise Him in the middle of the difficult things. Remember to lift His name, and He'll lift our burdens after that. The last man I was thinking about was Abraham. You know Abraham, God made him the father of many nations, this guy who was real old and had not had a son yet, and he was praying to God, and he's like, God, I need a son. Like, I need to feel like I'm successful in life. I need a son. So he prays to Him, and God says, okay, I promise you, you will have a son. Well, he didn't see it come to pass and tried to take care of it in his own way and kind of messed that up a little bit. But in his life, in his old age, him and his wife Sarah had a son named Isaac. And everything was good. Isaac was healthy. It was all good. He had found the promise that God had promised him. He had experienced it. It was right in front of him, tangible in his son Isaac. And then God says, hey Abraham, I'm going to need you to take that promise, that son, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. The very thing that he prayed years and years and years and years to get. God says, hey, I want you to take that thing that's so important to you, and I want you to sacrifice it on my name. You know what Abraham did? Man, he was going to do it. He was going to do it. We're going to read a couple scriptures in Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read verses 2 and 3 and then 9 through 11. So, Genesis chapter 22, verses 2 and 3 says, take your son, he said, this is God speaking to him, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place that God had told him about. I'm going to jump down to verses 9 and 11. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, here I am. And in that moment, he was saved. He just said, I'll take it. It's all good. But you see, what Abraham did is he showed his obedience to God. And sometimes what we do in these moments, we're so focused on all the things going on that we begin to try to cope in ways that aren't obedient. We begin to try to cope and find ways to deal with our issues that sometimes aren't great. They're ineffective coping mechanisms. It's something I learned in nursing school psych. Like the only thing I remember in psych, it was rough. I didn't do well there. But what we do is we try to find a way to band-aid our issue, whether it's through addiction, whether it's through talking about other people, trying to find a way that we're superior to someone else and how they're inferior to us no matter what's going on with us, whatever it is, however we cope, that's just not right. We do that a lot of times. We're not obedient to Him. And you see, what Abraham did was he prayed like crazy for this promise. And then God said, hey, I want you to take that thing you prayed for and I want you to sacrifice it to me. What God wants from us is a relationship that is not gift-based relationships. He wants us to be in a relationship with Him just because of who He is, not because of what He can give us. And I see this in my kids a lot, and I was like this when I was little too. I liked my mom and dad a whole lot more when they gave me things. I liked them a whole lot more when they had presents for me. But I've learned as I've gotten older that I love them so much more for the discipline that they showed me and the things that they didn't give me and the opportunities that they didn't let me pursue because they knew better than I did. You see, God wants us to have the same relationship with Him where it goes beyond what He can give us. It goes beyond Him giving us peace. It goes beyond Him giving us joy. It goes beyond Him blessing our finances. It goes beyond all of those things. It goes to the point where we love Him just because of who He is. When we're plenty and in want, when we're sick and when we're healthy, it's just like the marriage vows. He wants us to be like that in that relationship with Him. And so many times in our lives, like I said, we begin to feel like our relationship with God, if He's not giving us things, if He's not blessing us with all of these things, we feel like He doesn't love us anymore. We feel like He doesn't care about us anymore. He can't love me if He's allowing me to go through these things. He can't want good for me if I'm experiencing all of this problem that I'm dealing with, my health, my whatever, all the stuff that we're going through. There's no way God can love me. There's no way if He loved me, He wouldn't make me deal with this. And you see, we learn something through Job is that Job was highly respected to God. God loved Job. But Job went through some stuff. And on the other side of all of the suffering that he had, man, he was reimbursed for that suffering exponentially. But you see, there's a term in exercising and working out and weightlifting called time under tension. And time under tension refers to the amount of times that your muscles are actually doing work. Like sometimes you can increase your time under tension by doing more reps. You can add more weight. You can do the reps slower. But the time under tension is where you see the biggest growth and where you see the most impact on those muscles. And I think about our faith as a muscle. And if we don't exercise it and if we don't focus on how to build that faith, sometimes it gets stuck in the same plateau. We never increase our faith because we're doing the same things over and over and over again. And I feel like there are times in our life where God allows us to experience certain things that are difficult to deal with. Certain things that cause us to have a greater time under tension so that our faith in Him is built stronger. When we can focus on Him and remember who He is, remember that He's a living God. He's a living Redeemer, one that's going to buy us back, our ransom to Him. He wants us that bad. He purchased us with His one and only Son as an atonement. We are heirs to Him. He is our Father. We are His kids. He loves us that much. There's times where He wants us to get to the point where we have to focus on Him. And sometimes that takes longer than others. For me, it takes a while. It takes a really long time for me to understand that I'm just sleepy and hungry. My life's not falling apart. I'm really just sleepy and hungry. I just need a sandwich and a nap and I'll be content. But it takes even more time sometimes when I'm dealing with issues that are multifaceted in my life that I begin to focus on God again and I begin to remember, oh yeah, He's still there. No matter what I'm dealing with, He's still there. I'll whine to everybody about how bad things are right now, how tough of whatever it is I'm going into. I'll talk to my dad, I'll talk to Brianna, I'll talk to people, anybody that'll listen sometimes about what I'm dealing with. But I'll forget to pray to God and remember who He is. And then I'll get to the point where I'll isolate myself and I'll begin to seclude myself and I'll begin to try to cope by internalizing things and just be like, I'm good, I'll be fine. I'll be fine, no problem. And I'm not obedient to being focused on who God is and remembering that my relationship with Him is not solely based on how good my life is. Remember that my relationship with Him is based on the fact that He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the one who created me. He's the one who created everything around me. And He built me to worship Him. And sometimes I forget that. And I forget that my purpose, ultimately, is to glorify Him. And when we can remember that, and when we can focus on that kind of worship, and we can get to the point where we're so just desperate for Him that we'll worship Him to feel His presence again, and we'll worship Him to restore that relationship, He's there. He's right there. And it's so hard sometimes to get to that point. So who are you when things aren't well? Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Are you hard to deal with? Are you secluded? Do you isolate yourself? Do you find yourself trying to cope in other ways when things aren't well? Or are you like these three guys? Do you try to remain faithful in who your view of God is? Do you try to remain faithful in your relationship with Him? Do you pray about it? Not whining about it. Not that kind of whiny prayer. But the kind of prayer that lifts God's name. And the kind of prayer that glorifies Him for who He is. And then do you begin to understand that it takes obedience to get back to Him? It takes that following Him no matter what, to get back in that and to restore that relationship with Him, that sometimes we have to sacrifice the blessings that He gives us, or be willing to sacrifice those blessings that He gives us to restore our focus to Him in a way that restores our relationship. When we're focused on our things more than we're focused on the giver, we just get messed up. Everything's out of whack. So sometimes in our life, we are going to go through some stuff. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't have to deal with stuff. It just means we've got a God to go to when it happens. It just means that we've got a rock that is higher than I, a place of refuge that we can go to that is only a place that He can give. We can find comfort in the shadow of His wings. We can find peace in the midst of the greatest trouble around us. But we've got to remember who He is. We've got to remember to speak to Him and lift His name and praise Him. And we've got to remember to quit focusing on what He's given us or not given us and remember who He is. That's it. I hope it helps you to remember these things, remember these guys and how they handled what they went through to help you handle what you're going through. And if we can do this, and if we can begin to operate like this as Christians, we can impact the world around us in an enormous way. When people see us go through problems and issues we have, and we are affected the exact same way they are, and they don't know Jesus, why do they want to know Jesus? Why do they want Him if we're affected the exact same way? But if we can find a resoluteness and a steadfastness in who we know He is, and we're able to have our faith grow in those times, even though it's tough, and even though it hurts, and it's painful, we're finding that growth in that faith muscle. We're finding that growth in how we exercise that in that time under tension. So I challenge you to do the same thing. I'm going to do my best. I don't know that I'll be able to check all three of these boxes every time, but I'm going to do my best and not take forever to get to this point. And I challenge you to do the same thing. Let's pray together. God, I thank You for helping us understand. And it's so cool how Your Word is alive. It's so cool how we can read Scripture from the Old Testament and apply it to our lives today, that Your Word is living. It's so new and refreshing every day. God, I thank You for this challenge cautiously. Because I know it's tough, and I know that I've failed in this, and I know that as humans we fail in this because it's difficult. But I pray that You would give us the ability to remember these things with our mind, the cognition to be able to understand these things, and then the ability to adopt them into our hearts and into our spirits, so that when we go through issues, and we go through tribulation, and we go through the trials of life, we can remember who You are. We can lift Your name in the darkest of times and put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Remember that when we give our burdens to You, man, You take them. You take them and You hold them. We don't have to shoulder it. And God, remember to focus on You for who You are and find that obedience in our walk with You, to remember it's about who You are, not what You can give us. Not about how many things and how many gifts we've gotten from You, God. It's just about who You are. God, I know that's difficult. I know that's hard. But I pray that you give us the strength and the ability to do that. And find that steadfastness in our relationship with you, that it doesn't falter in those times, that it doesn't waver in those moments, God, that it's only strengthened and it's only bolstered, God, and it's only increased in how powerful it is. And I pray that you would begin to use us in those times to minister to the others around us. When we're in the middle of trial, when we're in the middle of issues and all those things, God, you give us opportunities to minister to the people around us. Give us opportunities to talk about how good you are. Give us opportunities to recount how wonderful you've been to us, God, and help someone else than when we're having issues too. I love you and I thank you for this opportunity to be with your people tonight. Go with us this week. Help us to find that favor in you. Help us to find and see the blessings that you give us, God, but to remember to worship you for who you are. God, to just do it because that's what you made us to do. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. All right. Hope you guys have a good week. I hope that you can understand this and begin to remember this when things get tough. I'll see you guys next week.